Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
With us in the studio again today is Dick Taylor. Dick, welcome back. It's nice to have you.
It's awfully good to be back.
Today will be an interesting program. We're at the end of Genesis 4, and Witness Lee's message is a little different today in that it focuses more on a particular practice of both Old Testament and New Testament believers, and that is calling on the name of the Lord. We don't usually deal too much with practices on this program, but why don't we begin today with, Dick, you're saying something about this practice of calling on the Lord's name.
This practice of calling on the Lord's name is a wonderful, wonderful practice. Actually, to appreciate calling on the name of the Lord, we need to realize that calling is a form of prayer. We may pray many things, yet never really pray. To call on the name of the Lord means to really touch the Lord, inhale the Lord, absorb the Lord, and become one with Him. Calling is very, very precious. It's not a matter of drumming up a number of words and figuring out all the right sentences. It's a matter of touching this dear one by calling his name, Lord Jesus. It's so good to call his name. This is the most intrinsic and essential prayer there is, to call on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord has a tremendous history. In the recovery version of the New Testament, our brother Lee has a wonderful footnote on Acts 2:21. Calling on the name of the Lord is not a new practice that began with the New Testament. It began with Enosh, the third generation of mankind. Continue with Job, Abraham, Moses, Samson, and on and on and on through the entire Old Testament. It's God's commandment to call on his name. It's God's desire that his people call on him. And listen to this. This is the joyful way to drink from the fountain of God's salvation, to delight oneself in God. So to call on the Lord is not to just mutter his name, but it's to call with the desire to touch this person, absorb this person, become one with this person, and to gain only him. It's so good to call on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Dick, thank you for both the introduction and the vivid demonstration. Let's join Witness Lee with this very valuable life study of Genesis.
Firstly, I would call your attention to what we have covered in the past 3 messages on this one chapter. To escape from the second fall, we need to be careful about being presumptuous. What is to be presumptuous? That is to do good, to worship God, to serve God according to what you think. To do good, to worship God, and to serve God not according to God's revelation, but according to your human concept, as we have seen in Cain. Number 2, we also need passively to live for God and to worship God according to His way, according to His revelation. This is the way for us to escape the second fall. In this chapter, we have 2 names which are so meaningful. Number 1, Abel means vanity. Number 2, Enosh means a frail mortal man. Regardless how high you would be, how rich you could be, and how good you might be, but when you sit down at the midnight and be quiet a little bit, people will all feel there is the emptiness within them. What's that? That is vanity. Just as the wise King Solomon says, vanity of vanities. And we also have to realize we are just so weak, so easy to fall. Man is frail. It's mortal. Now, you just put all these 4 points together. You just consider. Not presumptuous, but living for God and worshiping God according to His way, realizing that we are just vanity. So frail, so mortal. Now, what shall we do? Spontaneously, you will call on the Lord.
Amen.
And this is why the Bible says here, it was from this time of Enos that man began to call on the name of Jehovah.
Amen.
The Lord here in Hebrew is Jehovah. We know God, the Almighty. This name is mainly for God's creation. In the beginning, God created. But Jehovah, this name is mainly for God to be related to man. Jehovah is a name for God to have a dear relationship with man. It doesn't say here man began to call on the name of God, but it says man began to call on the name of Jehovah. Not only call on the one who created the things, but also on the one who is so near to us, who is so closely related to man. And this is the calling on the name of the Lord.
Dick, this is very good, that calling on the Lord has its origin clear back in Genesis chapter 4. Witness Lee mentioned again in this section about not being presumptuous in our worshiping, but being careful to worship according to God's way. We talked about this in depth in chapter 3, but what is this referring to?
Well, to be presumptuous means that we just worship God according to our own natural thought and according to our own natural way, as Cain did. He didn't take God's ordained way. God's ordained way was the way of the shedding of blood, the way of redemption, because He gave Adam and Eve coats of skins, indicating a lamb had been slain, the blood was shed, and that their righteousness was uniquely found through the death of the Lamb. And this Lamb was a picture of Christ. To be presumptuous means for us to worship God, to enjoy God, to have anything to do with God without enjoying Christ. Christ is our unique way to participate in God and to enjoy Him. So, in this section of the Word, the principle is established firmly that we offend God if we do not take His way, which is His Son. Not only that, we become those who lose our joy. Our countenance is fallen, and we are angry as Cain was. So may we pay close attention to this principle and to worship God, not in presumption, but uniquely by enjoying His Son.
Dick, thank you for that fellowship. Let's go back and rejoin Witness Lee.
We come to the history. This matter of calling began with the third generation of the human race. Enos means a weak, fragile, mortal man. He started to call on the name of the Lord. So I say again, when we realize that we are nothing, when we realize that we are so weak, so frail, what should we do? Surely we will say, "Oh, Lord Jesus." We will call on his name. So the history of this matter of calling began with the third generation of the human beings. It continued with, listen to all these names, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, Job, Jabez, Samson, Samuel, David, Jonah, Elijah, Elisha, and Jeremiah. You can see all those Old Testament saints, they did call on the name of the Lord. Then we come to the New Testament. This matter of calling was fully practiced by the New Testament saints. If you read Acts chapter 7, you could see when Stephen was being stoned to death, he was calling. He died calling. Acts 9:14 says, when Paul was Saul of Tarsus, he sought the authority to go down to Damascus to bind all that call on the name of the Lord. In the early days, according to the Bible, all the saints were callers. Calling on the name of the Lord was a sign, was a mark that they were Christians. Not only prayed to the Lord, they called on the name. So Saul got the authority to go down to Damascus to bind all that called on the name of the Lord Jesus. You know what happened? Before he went down there to bind so many callers, he got caught. And then the Lord sent a small disciple by the name Ananias to visit him. And Ananias said, why you tarry? Why you tarry? Arising, be baptized and wash away your sin, calling on the name. Once he called, all the Christians would say, my, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That persecutor now has really become one of our brothers.
Amen.
Why, you know? Well, I heard that he called on the name of the Lord Jesus. Then later on, when he wrote the book of Romans, in chapter 10, he stressed this matter of calling so much. He says that the Lord is the same to all the peoples, to the Jews and to the Greeks. The Lord's rage unto all that would call on his name.
Yeah.
Then also quoted in the Old Testament, whosoever will call on the Lord shall be saved. Mm. Then he wrote the First Corinthians, opening the book in this way. He said, I read this letter to you and to everyone in all the places that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus. By all these verses, we can see that in the early days, in the first century, the early Christians, they did practice the matter of calling quite much. And I do believe today the Lord would ask us to practice this matter that we may enjoy all the riches of his life.
Dick, it's clear then that this matter of calling on the name of the Lord is really very evident historically in the Bible. What about your experience? What is your history related to calling on the name of the Lord?
Well, I know that when I first received the Lord Jesus as my Savior back in 1958, I know that at that time I prayed a prayer, but intrinsically, essentially, I called. Somewhere in my prayer, I called on his name, but I did not appreciate that practice of calling on his name till many years later. I came into the church life in Los Angeles in 1969, and I'd been a Christian for 11 years. And I remember coming into a meeting of 600 or 700 people. Many of them were standing on their feet, and time after time were either calling, oh Lord Jesus, or declaring strongly, Jesus is Lord. I'd be sitting there thinking, Well, I know that. Why repeat it over and over again? I had no idea that the call on the Lord's name was one of the most precious ways revealed in the Bible to really enjoy the Lord and to touch the Lord and to become as living as the Lord is. So that was the beginning of my real practice of calling on the name of the Lord. And I found over the years that we can call softly, Lord Jesus. Or we may call loudly, Jesus is Lord. The main point is we want that person. We call on the Lord out of a pure heart, which means we want him. Even this morning, I have to testify, yes, I was praying, but intrinsically, I was just calling, breathing the Lord's name in love. Lord, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, you're so sweet. I had many things to pray, many things I was thinking about, but the top prayer, the top enjoyment was just calling on the Lord's name. I hope all of you who are listening would practice to call on his name.
Thank you, Dick. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
Now, what is the call on the Lord? It is not just to pray. Listen to this. Jeremiah said, when I was in a little dungeon, I called on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Then he said, Lord, don't reject my breathing.
Amen.
Don't reject my cry. You read those two verses. You can see to call is to breathe, and to call is also to cry. Dr. A.B. Simpson, he wrote a hymn just on this matter.
Amen.
Breathing, breathing, breathing.
Amen.
To breathe, you have to open up yourself. So to call on the name of the Lord is to open up yourself and to call out and to cry to him. Not only Jeremiah showed us that to call on the name of the Lord is to cry. Even Isaiah did the same thing. I would ask you to turn to Isaiah 12 again.
Here you have verse 4 that says, in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name.
Here the two things bind together,
to praise the Lord and to call upon his name. Then you have also cry out in verse 6 and shout.
By these we all can see that in the Bible there is such a thing. That is the calling on the name of the Lord. And this matter of calling is just the spiritual breathing. And also a kind of a spiritual cry. You have to cry to the Lord. Even you had to shout to the Lord by calling on his name. Paul says, the Lord's grace unto all that call upon him.
Amen.
You try it. This is not merely for salvation. This is for you to enjoy all the riches of the Lord. Today, the Lord is nigh. And he's so available to us because today he is the life-giving spirit. In any place and any time, when you call on his name, he comes to you. And he comes to you as the spirit. You call on Jesus, the spirit comes to you. You call on the name, the person comes. The Lord Jesus is real. He is living, and he is present, and he is all the time available. Try it. You just call, Lord Jesus. Right where he comes. Now, how to call? Number one, out of a pure heart. Our heart has to be pure. Number two, and we have to call with an open mouth. No one can call with a mouth closed. Paul says to call with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We have to call together daily. Psalm says, daily I will call on the Lord. And not only daily, but for the whole life. As long as I live, I will call on the name of the Lord. Well, I do believe we could see a sketch on the matter of calling. Yes. And I hope so many of you, new ones, will also get into this practice. Then you will see the best way to enjoy the Lord's riches is to call on His name.
Well, Dick, we have Witness Lee recommending calling, and we've had your testimony as well. But I want to draw attention to the hymn that he referred to by A.B. Simpson. First of all, who was A.B. Simpson? And then maybe you could read a stanza or two from the hymn before you comment.
A.B. Simpson was a very godly brother who lived somewhere near the turn of the century. He was a person who really did care for the experience of the Lord. A number of hymns in our hymn book are written by A.B. Simpson. You can tell by his hymns that he did have the experience of enjoying the Lord. This hymn 255 is a gem. It's on breathing the Lord. In fact, last night in our prayer meeting, we sang this hymn. Somebody called this hymn, and this turned out to be the majority of the content of our prayer meeting. It's too wonderful. Let me give a couple of examples from this hymn. I am breathing out my sorrow. I'm breathing out my sin. I'm breathing, breathing, breathing all thy fullness in. Well, the two points in this hymn are that on one hand, our relationship with the Lord should be a living one, not just Sunday morning, not just three or four times a week, but it's living. Breathing means moment by moment. It says in verse 4, I'm breathing out my sorrow on thy kind and gentle breast, breathing in thy joy and comfort, breathing in thy peace and rest. I really like this verse. Our Christ, because he went through death and resurrection and has become the precious life-giving Spirit, who is now right within our spirit, is so touchable and so breathable. He's even breathable. So it's so precious that we in our experience as Christians can breathe out what's negative to him about ourselves, about our experience, and we can breathe in all that he is. I like this. We don't have to manufacture being happy. We don't have to manufacture joy. As we call on his name, we breathe in joy, and we breathe in comfort. And to tell you the truth, you're never more comfortable than when you're joyful. When you're joyful and happy, you're really comfortable. If you're not happy, if you're not joyful, then you are really uncomfortable. So how can you be a happy Christian? It's by calling on the Lord's name, breathing his name moment by moment. Lord Jesus. Jesus, I love you. You just practice this. You'll see. You'll breathe in joy. You'll breathe in comfort. Then it says you'll breathe in peace and you'll breathe in rest. Verse 7 is tremendous. A.B. Simpson says, I'm breathing every moment. Our relationship with the Lord shouldn't be a few long prayers with lots of hours in between. Our relationship should be an intimate one made up of many short prayers that are constituted with breathing by calling his name. I'm breathing every moment, drawing all my life from thee. Breath by breath, I live upon thee. Lord, thy spirit, breathe in me. Lord, thy spirit, breathe in me. How about we all pray that? Lord, thy spirit, breathe in me.
Dick, I appreciate not only your fellowship, but your very enjoyable testimony today. Thank you for coming.
For Dick Taylor Today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening.